All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. I haven't been here for a while. I've been over at Ready Made Resources in Tennessee with Robert Griswold and getting people prepared for the future that is coming in America, like what you're seeing already in Israel. If you never thought now was the time to actually get up off your ass and do something about your preparedness, why don't you just take a look at Israel? Take a look at what's going on in the Gaza Strip. It's not a far cry for you to be able to imagine what depravity is, but you've never seen it in real life like me and our dear brother Jamie Walden, who I have on with me right now. If you've never seen what we've seen, if you've never been to war, if you've never been in a protracted long shooting, this is going to get really bad for some of you. And I know many of you do not take this seriously. Many of you take what we say with a grain of salt. Doug's just peddling fear. Look, I don't sell anything about except for the ability for you to prepare yourself and all the food, all the water, all the gold and stuff. You can go to other people and do that. I sell you the ability to actually prepare for what the people in Israel just experienced: the kidnappings, rapes, tortures, entire families kidnapped, killed in their bedrooms. Hamas is beheading men. I saw one man being beheaded with a garden hoe. Hamas is killing the IDF soldiers and desecrating their bodies and stabbing them repeatedly. I can only assume so that the grisly remains will be found for the mothers to bury. Hamas now, this morning, is reported to be beheading children, to include infants. We say pray for Israel, and I do. The Bible calls for us to pray for Israel. But you should pray that Israel returns back to their God. Your God is with you, Israel. But are you with your God? You've become a land of lawlessness. You've become a land of reprobates. You've turned your back on your first true love. And as always in Scripture, we see that God has to sometimes go to the extremes. As Jamie says, this is just him doing business with Israel. Sometimes it takes being brought to an extreme of suffering to be brought back to the feet of the throne room. I pray that the people in Israel are delivered from this. I pray that the innocents in Gaza are delivered from this. But the fighting back and forth, let me tell you something, for all you out there, you Jew haters, you Israel haters, if you're a Christian, there's no way you can be that. You agreed when you took Christ as your Savior that you are now circumcised in Him, that you are now grafted into the family. You are Jew in heart. Your Savior is Jew. Your God is that. To even think anything other than that, you are replacing a severe mentality of this world that has, I guess, constructed racism and bigotry, stupidity, and it's all guided by Satan. It's all used for division, division amongst the church, division amongst the brethren, strife amongst the brethren. Hell, we can't even go to the same church because of our different little beliefs. We need to pull our act together, church, because what you see in Israel is going to happen here. I'm shocked that hasn't happened yet, but I've said this for a while, that by 2024, if we're not in World War III, I'm going to be shocked. And by 2024, if we're not in a civil war and World War III, I'm going to be truly surprised. These things are unfolding. Prophecy is unfolding before your eyes. The king is at the throne, so we don't have a spirit of fear, but there is a certain matter of situational awareness that you need to have spiritually, that you need to have physically. That doesn't mean go and spend all your earthly possessions on carnal things to prepare yourselves. You need to be right with God first. Your house needs to be right with God first. You need to be meeting him at the throne room with all your burdens and problems first before you go to someone's damn website and spend everything on gold and silver and water purification and guns and training. You better be right with God first. You may not have time to use any of the other stuff next. The people in Gaza didn't. The people right now in Israel, all the IDF soldiers sleeping in their beds, were not given that option. Even with all the technology and all the training, they're caught up now to meet the Lord. I pray that they are all right with the Lord. The only thing you can do now is take care of you, take care of your family. Jamie, thanks for coming on with us. I was in the middle of training our students in our new active shooter house. By the way, it's phenomenal. It's awesome. I'll be displaying some videos of that. But let's get on to the matter at hand. We had began the second day of the training. I believe Saturday you called me. And you said, Doug, we need to get on the radio. And I said, well, it's going to have to wait till I get back. You know what I'm out here doing. And that's when you informed me, because where we're at, we have very poor cell service, that Israel was under attack and hundreds, if not thousands, had been killed. So let's pick up this conversation where it first began and bring it back forward. Jamie, go ahead.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. And it is, there is the prophetic significance of what's going on cannot be overstated. It's too easy, especially in the clickbait world of Christian truth or movement, for all kinds of sensationalism, hyperbolic, emotionally predatory language to be used out there. You know, you hear bombshell, bombshell, this is a bombshell, bombshell, bombshell interview. It's like, how is it that every interview is bombshell? I don't know how that works, but apparently in the Christian truth or movement, literally every report is the most important day of your life, right? But I say that to preface the reality that this actually is an unlocking or tearing the veil in a way that cannot be overstated in a sensational way. There's no way to hyper sensationalize it because it is sensational. It is my, my presupposition that this is unequivocally the beginning of the Psalm 83 war. And anybody who's been a student of prophecy for any amount of time, Psalm 83 has been one of those hard line, objective, empirical, prophetic, eschatological boxes that people have eyes on Israel and eyes on the Levant for some time, because that is empirical. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famine, pestilence in diverse places. That stuff's subjective. It's really hard to, it's hard to quantify that, right? It's hard to algorithm that out and put it on an actuary and make it make sense. But the Psalm 83 war, and also along with that, a secondary to that would be Isaiah 17, the destruction of Damascus. This stuff is empirical and objective, where you can timestamp it, boom, just timestamp the reality of this is what is going on in real time right now. So the initiation of what Hamas did, beginning, which would have been the Israeli Sabbath, and it was at the end of one of their feast days, and the Sukkot, which Feast of Tabernacles type stuff, a lot of overlay prophetically of when they chose to do this. It happened so fast and so hard that one could only speculate that it was an inside job. And actually, with a member of the Israeli Security Council saying, this is our 9/11, I think that was their... that was their predictive programming. Are there wink, wink, nod, nod to the rest of the global community that, hey, don't worry, us in the U.S. are in on this. We got it under control. We're allowing this thing to take place to a particular ends. But apart from that, the signification of it is a prophetic fulfillment, not just Psalm 83, but the reality of what God specifically said over and over and over again on multiple different levels through multiple different scriptures, both Old and New Testament, about the fullness of time, for not only the Gentiles, but also the Jews also. And that's why this Psalm 83 and what's breaking out right now in Israel is so radical. In a single day, in a single hour, in a single moment, it was done. And Doug, you were elucidating to this with regards to the practical preparedness of the American populace, or even of Christians globally, not just Western-centric, but globally. It happened in an instant, literally, while they're holding a global international rave on peace and security, sudden destruction came upon them, as in the form of paragliding, power parachuted paragliding Hamas fighters coming in and mowing down 256 partiers, probably tripping balls on ayahuasca and microdosing and everything else for the peace of the world, as they're literally being slaughtered by Hamas. And the young, beautiful, young, vibrant women are being taken off and raped in public and then murdered and monkey stomped, are dragged back into the Gaza Strip where their naked bodies are being paraded around and desecrated by Hamas, to the men who are being shot in their heads while they're doing all their occultic Gaia worship for peace and security, which is literally what scripture says. While they are saying peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, right? And so the fullness of time for both the Jew and the Gentile is coming down in real time. When this started breaking out, I was like, no way, no way. I started going through Psalm 83 and Ezekiel 38-39 and Isaiah 17 and Zechariah 14 and then looking at Revelation 18 with the destruction of Mystery Babylon, us, the United States of America, being Mystery Babylon, 99%, right? Certain America, United States of America is Mystery Babylon, all converging and coalescing at real time right now. You have the formal declaration of war by Netanyahu. You have the Israeli Security Council mobilizing 360,000 reservists. You have all the borders shut down. You have the airports shut down. You have numerous Israeli military bases being overrun and the troops being slaughtered while they're in their barracks. You have several IDF or Israeli Air Force air brigades and air patrol units being overwhelmed. You have Hezbollah mobilizing on the Lebanese border. You have Syria mobilizing on the Syrian border. You have Iranian proxies mobilizing on a proxy border, on the Iranian border as a proxy of Iran. You have the calls for Taliban for permission from Iran to cross through their sovereign territory to come and take Jerusalem. With the $85 billion in U.S. equipment that was given them, we have reports coming out of Israel right now that Hamas is fighting with the very weapons that we sent to Ukraine. And somehow now they're all in the Gaza Strip, this small, insignificant strip of land, and weapons from Ukraine to fight Russia are somehow in the hands of Hamas to now fight Israel. And then you have Egypt mobilizing several different entry brigades along their border, and Egypt just today shut down the only border crossing from Gaza out of Gaza Strip. That means currently, in real time, Gaza Strip is cordoned and controlled by the IDF at this time. 2.3 million-ish Palestinians locked into that small area, with the declaration by different IDF leaders that they are going to mount their ground invasion into Gaza and they are going to level it. And they said Hezbollah, which is Lebanon slash Iran, whenever you hear Hezbollah, just think of Iran. They said, if Hezbollah gets involved, we might preemptively strike you. Oh, and Iran, we might preemptively strike you. And the Israeli ambassador to Russia said, our backs are up against a wall right now to where, do not be surprised. I'm paraphrasing. Do not be surprised if we use nukes very soon. So you have this constant convergence of all the attributes of what is a time stamp, definitive, objective, empirical reality of prophetic significance beyond words. And you know what's crazy, Doug? Here was the legit statement, and then this can break us into a whole other area. The statement from a Russian state sponsored elite diplomat, whatever he was, I can't remember his exact billeting and title and what he was representative of, but he said, in order to create a de-escalation of the tensions arising in the state of Israel and the state of Palestine, by the way, when they use that language, that's cryptic, there is no state or nation of Palestine. So they're already inserting where this is going. He said, it's going to require a development of the nation of Palestine and a dividing of Jerusalem with a shared Jerusalem as the capital of both Israel and Palestine. Palestinians will get East Jerusalem, and a international governing body will oversee the administration of the dividing of Jerusalem for these two ruling parties. Why is that significant? Doug, I already know you know the answer. because that's exactly the stage that has to be set for the Antichrist to arise onto the scene. There is a dividing of Jerusalem. There is a re-implementation of a two-state solution under an international governing body, and what I believe will be a part of a peace deal that will be brokered after horrible atrocities. We haven't seen anything yet, ladies and gents. After horrible atrocities, I believe that the brokering of the peace deal, one of the caveats of it, will be that Israel will be allowed to rebuild the third temple and re-implement all their pharisaical religious sacrifices that have already been approved by the Knesset. The red heifer has already been placed. The Temple Institute has already recreated all the vestments and all the Levitical requirements for temple conduct. And they have gotten approved, even despite all the animal rights activists in the world, the right to re-implement ritualistic animal sacrifice on the Temple Mount once it's rebuilt. That is so crazy, gnarly, prophetically significant, because the Antichrist confirms a peace covenant in Jerusalem and breaks the peace covenant, and he puts an end to ritualistic animal sacrifice on the Temple Mount. And it is in that place where he proclaims himself to be God, and there is no God but him. So this Hamas incursion, this now instantaneous, overnight, in the suddenly, in a single day, in a single hour, global war on a prophetic level is taking us somewhere that most Christians won't understand until it's too late.
You know, we talk about Psalm 83. I think it's important to take two steps back and go back to Psalm 81. It's titled, "Oh, That My People Would Listen to Me," starting at verse 5. "I hear a language I had not known. I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. In distress you called, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. I hear, O my people, while I admonish you, O Israel, if you would but listen to me. There shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward him, and their fate would last forever. But he would feed you with the finest of wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you." Now, to talk about things present. Psalm 82, "Rescue the weak and needy. God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations." It's not like God didn't warn us. It's not like God didn't send prophet after prophet and judge after judge to warn us of things coming. Why, Jamie, are we so stiff-necked? Why are we so filled with pride in our hearts that we think that if we were just good, if we were just nice to each other, we could then bypass the judgments of God? Even that is a lie, because in man's hearts, we know the difference. Psalm 83. After Psalm 83, you and I discussed Ezekiel 38. Where do you see from 83 to 38? Before I go there, I want to say something, though. At Psalm 83, verse 4, They say, come, let us wipe them out as a nation. Let the name of Israel be remembered no more. Does that sound familiar to what Taliban just said? For they conspire with one accord against you. They make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Gebal, Ammon, Amalek, Philistia, Tyre, Ashur has joined them. I believe that was Assyria. And the children of Lot. Do to them as you did to Midian, as to Sisera, as and Jabin at the river Kishon. So we have Psalm 83 is a localized event, not so much on a worldwide scale. Does not mean there can't be worldwide implications. Here in America, we're already seeing vast protests. We're already on a high alert status. Lord knows what has crossed our border in the last month, let alone 72 hours. Anytime something like this is happening and everyone is distracted, things cross that border. So where do you see us between this Psalm 83? Because obviously we're not there yet. This is a building up to. After that, do you think we could possibly skip right over to a Ezekiel 38 moment?
Yeah, I think there's a couple layers to this, Doug, that it is hard to know. And I would never say in hubristic arrogance that thus says the Lord, this is it. And I've talked about this on a couple other programs. By God's wisdom, a lot of biblical prophecy is intentionally obscure and nebulous. That's called OPSEC, right, Doug? Even God has heavenly OPSEC. We have a precedence for that. Even with the first advent, the first coming of Jesus Christ and the crucifixion of Christ Jesus, it says the powers of darkness did not know what they were doing, because if they had, they would have never crucified the King of Glory. So God creates heavenly OPSEC even in prophetic language, where even us as his believers, we're trying to discern, we're trying to be wise and be prudent and be pure, as we seek to interpret these things. But at the same time, we see through a glass dimly, right? We know in part, we prophesy in part. We don't really know. And God's wise to do that. So when you even look at prophecy, there's all kinds of scholarly debate, and all of them are just as valid as the next, about timing of Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. Some would put that at the beginning of the tribulation period. Some would put that in mid-trib. Some would put that at the end of the millennial, that it's actually an aspect or a type and shadow of the Battle of Armageddon at Megiddo, when they're all drugged out. And in Revelation 20, Gog and Magog is mentioned once more. So there's debates and there's oppositional didactic perspectives on these things, academic perspectives, and that's fine. But what you do know for certain is Psalm 83 and Isaiah 17 are very closely linked together. If people don't know what Isaiah 17 is, I'll just give you the quick paraphrasing. It says, behold, Damascus is a ruinous heap. It ceases from ever being a city again. What's interesting is just this morning, Bibi Netanyahu made the statement that if Syria through Hezbollah gets involved in any way, his words, we will level the city of Damascus. Fascinating language that he is prophetically uttering, that they are going to level the city. They're going to make Damascus become a ruinous heap if they get in. So I believe that it goes Psalm 83, Isaiah 17 into an Ezekiel 38, 39. And then you have aspects of Zechariah 14. Now for Zechariah 14, for those who don't know, I'll give the paraphrasing of that as well too. And obviously just for brevity's sake, but Zechariah 14 talks about the enemies of Israel getting right to the gates of Jerusalem. Israel is utterly overwhelmed, like pretty close to what's getting ready to happen right now, right? They're utterly overwhelmed. They're pushed all the way back into Jerusalem proper. And it's only when they're pushed back into Jerusalem proper where the Lord shows up and fights on their behalf. And it says he shows himself mighty against all of his enemies. He makes his fame and his renown known again and all the earth because of the way he deals with Israel's enemies. And the way the language speaks, it talks high index of suspicion, right? Can't know for certain. Informed speculation, the way the language reads in Zechariah 14, and also there's another place in Ezekiel, as it is as if it is a nuclear event. It is a nuclear event where their flesh rots off their bodies while they are still standing. Their tongues burn out of their mouths, right? It's like their flesh is melted off of them. And then we're told elsewhere that they have the bodies laid dead in the valleys where God smited them, however the past tense of that word is, and they had to wait 7 months before, quote unquote, peacekeepers to go in and bury the equipment and the bodies. That, to me, again, informed speculation, presupposes some type of isotope decay that they're waiting on after a nuclear event takes place. And most people are aware, and your listeners, Doug, are really anybody who has their finger on the pulse of any truth going on, they are aware that Israel has a military doctrine referred to as the Samson option. Samson, obviously, being the historical biblical character who was a Nazarene under a Nazarite vow. He ends up compromising, type and shadow of Israel, also a type and shadow of the Laodicean church. And eventually he is deceived by the Philistines to the cutting off of his hair, and the glory of God departs from him. This was, you know, Ichabod being written over his head. The glory of the Lord departs from him because a harlot or a whore, Delilah, that sees him. All this is biblical language from Genesis to Revelation, especially with regards to the end time. And then the Philistines, while he's unaware, infiltrate his reality, cut his hair off. He's ashamed. His eyes are gouged out. He's a laughing stock of all the Arab enemies of the world and the Philistines. And then God allows him by grace when he cries out to God in authentic repentance. As he's standing in the temple of Philistines and they're mocking and scoffing him, and he's blinded and ashamed and naked, God allows him to do the Samson option and actually collapse the whole temple down on everybody's head, killing himself, but killing all the enemies of God at the same time for the glory of God. Israel has an official military doctrine referred to as the Samson option. So when I read Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, Ezekiel 38, 39, depending on where you think that falls in the biblical timeline, and in Zechariah 14 and elsewhere, that's what I see going on in real time. So here's what I anticipate, Doug. I anticipate, because I know the libtards of the world and the libtards of America and the emotionally predatory, you know, propaganda machines of the intelligence community, which is our mainstream media, is that you are going to see the largest global anti-Semitic rally that you could ever conceive of. It's going to make what Hitler did with the sowing of propagandization within Nazi Germany in the late 1920s all the way up to 1939 before the final solution was implemented. It's going to make that seem like a cakewalk, because that was regionally specific compared to what they're going to do here globally. Because I anticipate Israel leveling the Gaza Strip, leveling Hamas in Gaza. And the outcry by the liberals of the world is going to be about this gross violation of human rights. Gross violation. The UN already said if Israel sieges Gaza, which they already did. So they're saying this past tense, knowing about the outcome. They said that this is a direct violation of UN resolution policies, and they are going to intervene. So I expect there to be just the gnarliest, most horrific bloodshed in a very short order that will sow the seeds and foment the ground for an international governing body at the behest of the U.S. and actually with U.S. and Iran in some weird, perverse alliance thing to divide Jerusalem and to create an international global contingent who rules over the Temple Mount area to keep the peace after humanitarian horrors that most people haven't seen since the Russians took Germany in World War II, right? So, and again, that's why I'm saying this is setting the stage on a level that we can't understand. By the way, Hamas, Mahmoud Abbas, who is the Palestinian leader, has been and is a direct ally of China, in contacts with China 24/7, a direct ally of Russia, in contacts with Russia 24/7, Syria, Iran, most of Iraq, most of the Arab fighters coming in, Saudi Arabia, aspects of different sects in both Yemen and Oman and even North African continent. They all are in agreement under one sect of Islam called Shia Islam. The Sunni Islam is on a different aim, and they have a hardcore apocalyptic dispensation. The Shias have a very particular eschatology about the second coming of their Christ, which is the Antichrist, via the 12th Imam, and Isa, Jesus. They refer to Jesus in different aspects of their perverse, you know, bloodlust, blood cult doctrines, that Jesus comes back with the 12th Imam to rule and reign out of Jerusalem to establish a global caliphate. Now, here's what's important to know and understand about Shia Islam, is they believe that it is their duty to create global chaos and bloodshed to terraform the earth for their Imam to arrive and rule and reign from Jerusalem. So I'm talking, dude, we're talking layers of biblical prophecy that broke out on Saturday early morning. Layers. And I would go so bold as to say, Doug, is that everything from here on out is different. Everything that we've ever known, we've been aware of it. People have been studying it. We've been talking about it, but it just happened. Everything from here on out is completely different. I believe that there is a very direct time stamp or time seal that just got loosed. And I believe the nearness of the breaking, the official breaking of the seals of the book of Revelation are right around the corner. But these things have to take place before we get to that.
It's hard to put a timeline. And I'm always weary of any man who says this time, this date. You know, right now is a great time for you to start witnessing cults pop up, especially within the Christian community. And you're going to have a varying difference in opinions that'll be probably sparking in your own church about what type of prophetic end times we're in. But that should not be your mainstay. The prophetic end times is not your savior. Christ is. So be ready to see him tonight, right? So
yeah.
Israeli defense minister orders a siege on Gaza, and he said, "There will be no electricity, no food, no fuel. We are fighting human animals, and we will act accordingly." The whole world has had a problem with that statement. For one thing, how long have we talked about preparedness? No food, no fuel, no electricity. You're in martial law, war zone. What do you do? Go. I can't put you in that scenario. I can try to recreate scenarios for you, like what we do during some of our SEER training, or like what we do during some of our active shooter training, but I can't put realism and intensity in there. And many people that I was watching that were in Gaza that were reporting stuff, of course, they're all Palestinian sympathizers. You know, like, it's so horrible. We have no food. We have no fuel. Even though Egypt could bring all that in, and I guess they're not doing so. Am I correct? So this will put another burden upon the international community. And I can foresee this administration, the Biden administration, definitely brokering some sort of a deal, pushing for it. I mean, it's perfect timing, isn't it? Isn't it perfect timing that before we have the 2024 presidential run, this starts? That after you get Donald Trump out of the office and you get Obama's third term in, his sock puppet in, right? This happens. Obama is a complete supporter for the Palestinians. I was shocked to see how many people around the world really were, but I'm not surprised. And here's the thing. What these people are in favor for is butchery, savagery, murder, but don't you dare bring it to them. They can do it to you because that's their religion of peace. And they're innocent in all this. They were doing it to the settlers, to the suppressors, to the people who drove them out. And sure, Israel is not innocent in some of their actions that they've done. Obviously, there's been an escalation between the two people. Never have I seen things like this since Iraq.
Yeah,
it's been a long
man.
Time.
I mean, I know you've seen the videos too, and it is upsetting. It's upsetting to see the Israeli soldiers slaughtered while they're still in the racks and in their barracks, and to see guys with their body armor and helmet on, in their chones, in their underwear, because that's all they could run out and fight with. And then they're slaughtered as they're leaving the door. I've seen the videos, Doug. I know you've seen the videos. It is horror beyond comprehension. And there's going to be such a disinformation, misinformation, and malignment of the reality of the truth on the ground that is intentional to foment the seeds to get where they want to take us. And again, it's all about getting us where they want to take us. And it's high index of suspicion that this was an inside job, that this was allowed to happen. Israel is the most hyper-vigilant militaristic state on the face of the earth. Israel is the highest technologically advanced, has the highest technologically advanced intelligence apparatus on the face of the earth. Most of the Five Eyes are subordinate to Mossad in intelligence gathering. Israel is the highest technological investment in all AI, quantum computing, AI threat fusion centers, biometric data, drone tech, everything you think. It all comes out of Israel. And they have the most intense human intelligence apparatus inside Gaza. And lo and behold, the Biden administration just recently gave Iran $6 billion. That can buy about 5,000 rockets and along with a lot of other specialized training. And it can pay outside proxy state invaders to shut down your Iron Dome when the time needs. And it canceled the calls from going out for the troops to mobilize. And not to mention the fact that all the weapons from Ukraine and the $85 billion in weaponry left in Afghanistan are all of a sudden showing up in Jerusalem, or I mean, in Israel, I should say, Israel proper. So there's numerous different layers of the reality that's going on here. And again, I couldn't overstate the signification of what just broke out. And let me just add this layer, because it's in my head right now. So if I don't get it out, I'll just forget it. Most of your listeners, Doug, are going to be totally familiar with the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 sabotage done by the United States of America, right? Like, we're very well aware of that we systematically, because of the Petrodollar, because of several NATO members pivoting towards Russia and the disproportionate energy purchases coming from Russia versus the United States, blah, 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 that we intentionally sabotage. We blew up our own allies' primary source of energy for all of Western Europe so that they would be dependent on us. And then they would begrudgingly as they may, toe the line with anything we wanted to do regarding Ukraine and Russia. We're all aware of that, right? So now Russia and their strategic energy reserves, they have no ability to export it because it's Nord Stream 1, Nord Stream 2. I know there's a couple other ones, but it's that significant. But lo and behold, the largest energy reserve on the face of the earth, it is, I forget, tenfold beyond what is under the Arabian Peninsula in the United States of America, was discovered off the coast of Israel, which is actually off the coast of the Gaza Strip. And out of all names that they could have named this gas field, the largest discovery running under all these contested international waters underneath the seafloor, they decided to name it the Leviathan gas field. Leviathan, as in the chaos dragon of old, as in the arcane dragon from Genesis 1:1, the world was tohu and bohu, and the Lord stood over the Leviathan, the waters of the deep. It means Leviathan in the Hebrew. It's a same Leviathan chaos dragon that's going all the way through the end. So then when we read in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that God puts hooks in the jaw of Gog and Magog, which is the ancestral lands of Russia and Rosh and Meshech of Tabul and Persia, which is Iran, he says, I'll put hooks in their jaw and a bunch of their little crony nations and drag them in to the fight for Israel. And what are they saying as they're going into Israel? They say, come, let us plunder her. Let us plunder her of all of her riches and all these things. So here you have the U.S. strategically blowing up the Nord Stream pipelines, destroying all these other nations' ability to produce energy. And yet you have little Israel with little Gaza sitting on the biggest energy reserve gas fields in the history of humanity. And now you have this going on at the whole time. It's all interconnected. It's all interconnected. And again, as I keep saying, I know I keep beating a dead horse, but they're taking us somewhere. They're taking us somewhere. But the thing is what we got to remember, Doug, is they aren't. They have no power. The powers of darkness have no power. The rulers of these nations have no power. The principalities that are influencing the rules of these nations have no power. They are water in the hand of the Lord. He directs them wherever he pleases. The scriptures are very clear that calamity cannot come upon a nation unless the Lord has decreed it. Unless the Lord has decreed it. There is nothing out of order going on here, ladies and gents. The Lord is strategically doing something because regardless of what the narcissistic, Western-centric, evangelical Christians believe, the world doesn't revolve around your Bethel Hillsong lifestyle. Actually, the entire end times narrative is not ecclesia-centric. It is highly, highly, highly Jewish and Israeli-centric. It all comes right back to the people that he originally covenanted with. It's all about the affirmation and the fulfillment, the fullness of time, unto the fulfillment of his promises, of his covenant with Israel, and it culminates in, it looks like it's beginning to culminate right in our time. And what God's fullness of time for the Jews is, as the fullness of time occurs with the Gentiles, is that they would finally look on him who they have pierced, that their heart of stone would be replaced with the heart of flesh that beats for the one true God. And the only way to get his people unto the fullness of his, what he covenanted with them thousands of years ago, as he brings them all back into Jerusalem, and they are so overwhelmed, they're so crushed, they're so destroyed and pressed on every side by all their enemies that they can no longer look to the United States as their helper and their deliverer and their strong tower. They can no longer keep tapping into their reprobate, occultic, Kabbalistic, Canaanitic, Babylonian magic, which is all Israel's about. All of Israel is all about the arcane worship of the gods of old and the mystery schools and mystery. It's literally their flag. It's the Star of Ishtar. You could not have a more occultic symbol that you could use than that star, quote unquote, the Star of David. There's no such thing as a Star of David. That is the most open Luciferian symbol in the face of the earth, flying over every piece of Israel. And God says, I am coming for you, Israel, for you, Jews, for my people, because I covenanted with you. You just don't understand what it's going to take to get you to the point where you actually cry out to Jesus as Nazareth and finally acknowledge him as the Messiah that I sent you 3,000 years ago. He is the Messiah, and they will look on him with these pierced, and they cry out, and then God comes, and he shows up miraculously and delivers his people. And that's what the church doesn't understand. That's what the world doesn't understand. That's what most Bible prophecy scholars don't understand. Pray for Israel, pray for Israel, pray for Israel. I'm like, what are you praying for Israel for? The only thing you should be praying over Israel, besides the atrocities, I get it. I'm empathetic to it. I hate it. I've seen it. I've lived it. I've waded through it for 15 years of my life. I hate it. I know what war brings. But I know that God's sovereignty and wisdom and love and kindness and goodness and grace and mercy for his Jewish people is far beyond what we can see on the TV screens of the world around us. He has a higher stakes game in mind as he's allowing his people to be overcome. So do not think the global elite have any power other than what God affords them. Do not think Hamas, Hezbollah are this Arabic alliance that's going to come against Israel, that they have any power. Do not think that our reprobate media has any power over the deceptions and the delusions of the world. It says God chooses our delusions. God says, because you love not the truth, not that you don't know it, you just don't love it. Because I love not the truth, he sends the strong delusions that you might believe a lie because he took no pleasure in righteousness. God says, Romans 1, knowing God, they neither glorified him nor gave him thanks. So God gives them over. All of this is God-centric, Christocentric, and it's for his glory and for our great joy. Do not be mistaken about what's going on. If you're going to pray for Israel, you ought to be praying that they would be so humbled and broken and contrite that they would call on the name of Jesus, the Messiah, who they have denied for so long. That's what we should be praying over Israel.
Absolutely. You know, this is going to get harder for people. Right now, it's just got updated at least 14 Americans have been killed in this attack by Hamas. Currently, they have people, to include Americans, that are kidnapped Hamas says they're going to start to execute and they're going to live stream it. Is this not reminiscent of Al-Qaeda, Taliban?
Exactly.
Is it not reminiscent of
ISIS?
Real
quick, Doug, who, where did ISIS come from? Oh,
CIA.
U.S. intelligence apparatus. Where did Taliban come from? Oh, CIA,
CIA.
U.S. intelligence apparatus. Where did the Nazi regime in Ukraine come from? Oh, U.S. intelligence apparatus. How about the Hutu and Tutsi Rwandan genocide? Where did that come? Oh, Clinton State Department, because of the mineral resources that got discovered in Rwanda. And now where did Hamas get created from? From Israeli Mossad. Hamas was created by Israeli Mossad. Do your research. Israeli Mossad is literally bosom buddies and bedroom partners with the United States intelligence apparatus. None of this is out of order. There isn't some big organic terroristic overthrow of Israel that just occurred in a vacuum. This took high level planning from first world nations with high technological advancements, logistics planning, militaristic acumen, and high technological abilities through SIGINTs and cybernetic stuff and human SIGINT, you know, counterintelligence, intelligence, insurgencies, all this stuff. It could only come from first world nation states undergirding Hamas to equip them to carry this out. So all the world is a stage, right, Doug? You and I know that. And again, they are taking us somewhere. Well, they think they're taking us somewhere. God is allowing them to begin taking us somewhere for the fullness of time.
Absolutely. Prophecy must be revealed and it cannot be stopped. Let's get out of prophecy for a second. I got a lot of people like you and I, veterans, cops, who have texted me within the last 48 hours. Are we going to war? That's what's on everybody's mind right now. Jamie, have you heard of an operation called Nitro Zeus?
No, I haven't. Let me ask you this. Have you heard of an operation called Operation Headless? Just curious.
Share yours.
Well, you go first. I didn't want to hijack the thing. I was just at because you asked me if I've heard of this operation. I just got this message yesterday from somebody who is, I'm two parties removed. So I always give how far removed I am. I'm two parties removed from it. But they are actively engaged with the heads of all the five branches of the U.S. military. And apparently they have a longstanding operation called Operation Headless that they're putting into play right now. I cannot substantiate this. I cannot corroborate this. I'll just share it. And then if it happens, it happens. If not, then throw it out, right? But apparently they are getting ready. They said an attack in the U.S. soil is imminent. Incredibly imminent, and it will include aspects of, I don't use the word EMP, I'm not a big EMP proponent, but aspects of cyber warfare that will knock out comms. And yep. So they are currently rolling out Operation Headless, which is the major commanders regionally across the U.S. have been preparing to have to operate autonomously without any CENTCOM, without any central command. And so they're actually putting that into play as in the last 24 hours. That's just what I was told. Again, can't substantiate it, can't corroborate it. Somebody else can fact check it and say, nah, that was total BS, conspiracy mill stuff. But two parties removed is talking to the person who is actually in those high level meetings with Joint Chiefs and what else, saying that they said Operation Headless, initiate it now. Get ready to be totally decentralized and your command and control decision-making in the U.S. We're getting hit. We're going to get hit. We're allowing ourselves to get hit. Get ready. So that's what I was told in the last 24 hours.
Well, then that goes right along with Operation Nitro Zeus.
Okay, now you go. Your turn.
All right. Nitro Zeus. Nitro Zeus was created many years ago. I actually know a guy who was part of the training. I'm going to be vague about some things because this is not something that most people are supposed to know. Even though you could probably look up some of this on the internet, the details are not there. Nitro Zeus is suicide mission. We expect to lose at least 80% of all of our special operations guys during this. And I mean every single one, TACP from the Air Force, PJs from the Air Force, Navy SEALs, Delta or CAG, as most people actually know them, CAG, Combat Action Group, or Kinetic Action Group. And then we have Special Forces, MARSOC, all these guys, and probably ground units like what you and I used to do, Jamie, are going to be involved in a decapitating maneuver. Some event is going to happen in the near distant future that the United States military is going to, without a warning, without any preemptive strike or anything like that, we are going to take our bombers and we're going to do a softening effect. You know what that is? Softening effect is whenever you bomb the living hell out of something like airfields for the Rangers to drop in, either hot or cold. So, you know, if those airfields are hot, they're landing on it, they're going to have to destroy those airfields, clear stuff out so the C-130s can land and then take off within minutes and then start destroying stuff so that no planes can be taken off. With this, there's many moving parts. Let me get down to the nitty-gritty of the moving parts, and then I'll move outward. The goal...
Real quick, Doug, I think it's interesting that you said that it is a tactical decapitation of our top-tier assets, because that's exactly what, you know, I was being told this operation that's been initiated is Operation Headless, because there's going to be a decapitation and everybody's going to be decentralized, but it's going to be preceded by a total destruction of intercommunications within the military, which is exactly literally what just happened to Israel 72 hours ago. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. This operation is not, we're not attacking Hamas. We're not attacking ISIS. We're not attacking the Taliban. This is an entire nation that we are going to fling our military at. And it is an acceptable risk. The mission is considered, it's an acceptable risk. The mission would be considered complete even if we lost 80% of all special operations that are active duty. 80% of every one of us dead is acceptable. That means if we get invaded, the only guys that are in special operations are going to be the ones that are left in CONUS, because everybody on that mission is probably going to die. Let's say it's Iran. Okay, give me a second to unfold this. Let's say it's Iran.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to ask you in doing a deeper dive in Nitro Zeus than what I've ever looked into, what is the, I guess, what is the common consensus on who the antagonists would be, or the belligerents would be involved in that?
I am guessing that it is Iran will be the culprit, because it will most likely be springboarded after something that happens in CONUS that is simultaneous with Israel. That's,
well, let me speak to that real quick. Isn't it interesting that the most recent Gerard Butler, which just seems like Gerard Butler gets used for a lot of predictive programming movies, his most recent movie, Kandahar, is about him as a CIA asset going in and destroying an Iranian underground nuclear fusion center and creating a global cataclysmic war. That literally just came out, what, 2 months ago, that movie Kandahar? That's the premise of it, which we always know their predictive programming is stellar. As soon as I saw that they chose Iran as a primary belligerent in that movie, I was like, oh, we're going to war with Iran next. As soon as I saw that movie, I'm like, that must mean Iran's on the chopping block. Here we go.
Well, the whole training scheme behind this, and this has been worked on for many years, is to be able to get our most advanced elite teams underground. You know the hell that will be. And they're going to have everything with them. Now, I'm not going to go into what I know that they're going to have, but they have some heavy equipment that is made quite light, that is very mobile, and it will get them through any door they predict that they can get into quick, fast, and in a hurry. And it is to absolutely destroy nuclear fusion centers.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that is the whole premise of it. And from there, let's expand outward. Rangers jump in, do Ranger things, cause mayhem, as we know those boys are good at. They're distraction to draw the army in on them. Okay. Outwardly, from there, MARSOC's messing around. TACPs are probably going to be carrying out precision airstrikes, calling in medevacs, obviously navigating anything that's reconnaissance-wise in the air, coordinating with any other outer cordon units. I can only guess that MARSOC would probably, which Marine Corps Special Operations, Marine Corps Raiders, are going to be in another engagement, because if we're talking about the need for our guys to get in, get the job, get the hell out, they have to evac. Well, if it is Iran and their proxy buddy is China and Russia, and they get involved, we're not putting anything in the air after that, because those Sukhoi 400s, 500s, they will tear anything out of the air. Our high
Mars. Yeah, same thing. Even like with our naval, our surface warfare assets, it's like they can't be anywhere within range because of their hypersonic missile capabilities. They'll destroy our naval assets in an hour.
So these guys are going to have to flee. They're going to have to flee westward, which would mean to Iraq, which means into ISIS. So then there's going to have to be a war in Iraq. And I mean like shock and awe again in Iraq, so that we have a welcome wagon party for the boys that are surviving coming out of Iran, moving westward. And if we're meeting face to face with ISIS, who knows how many they're still there? Who knows what they still, hell, if we're talking about the Taliban being there, could you imagine the Taliban coming into Iraq, trying to get into Jerusalem, and then the operation starts? Somebody has to play the fullback, and someone has to block and protect while this operation is going on. This is a multi-phase operation. I will not get into anything further from that. Very short of what I already know, just because everything changes all the time. But
and Doug, that gives credence to the speculation, informed speculation, that even what we currently see in Israel is being initiated by Israeli U.S. intelligence apparatus as a justification for a strike on Iran.
Well, they're calling it a strike on Iran. They're calling it a false flag already. Look, you have people from the United States, from Europe, from Israel, who said this is our 9/11. This is our
IDF is saying it was a false flag. IDF troops are taking to social media in droves saying we were given stand down orders. We were given stand down orders. They cut off our communications. We all knew what was happening and we weren't allowed to do anything about it. We weren't allowed to mobilize. We weren't allowed we were just to surrender our tanks and our IFVs and our APCs and all this stuff. And we just let it happen.
Well, what's interesting is that Pearl Harbor was known. 9/11 was known and predicted. Oh, and we trained them. How interesting is that? So I mean, Israel is the most advanced technological place in the world. I've trained with the Israeli Special Forces. I know their scope and capability. I know very well that this should not have happened, and that Hamas is not even on the same level as the standard infantry units. How in the hell did this happen? They used, I mean, from Palestine, from that Gaza Strip to where they attacked, how did they just sneak in? A bulldozer doesn't just sneak in. You mean to tell me that the Israelites, literally, even though it's one of their holidays, it's Shabbat and all this, that they didn't pay attention to radar, ground sensors, look at cameras, turn everything off. That's the Jewish law. Turn everything off, to include your sense of awareness. I doubt that.
Yeah.
I doubt that.
Yeah. Well, and I even saw an IDF soldier saying that, like, a pigeon can't come near our border defenses without our electronic warfare picking it up on, and everybody gets mobilized. She said a cockroach can't climb underneath our fences without us being mobilized. There is
I
no
saw that.
way. There's no way that this happened. And so, again, it goes back to, you know, I think there's a lot of credence to what you were even sharing about Operation Nitro Zeus, you know, or even this Operation Headless going on in the U.S. And I don't know if you saw that there's some you know, well-informed guys that are saying that the cells within the U.S. have been activated, the different terror cells that are coming across the border, again, with the Chinese age fighting men. So there's a propensity here, the potentiality for this thing to go into, you know, like we said, the prophetic succession all the way into Revelation 18 with the destruction of Mystery Babylon. I mean, there's a potential for that, because here's what has long held been shared among the eschatology type scholars, is that the nations of the world will not fully converge on Israel until the U.S. is done away with first. That gets into very significant prophetic fulfillment, or I guess potential prophetic fulfillment within Ezekiel 38:10, where it says, and also at that time, key biblical distinction, it's in the King James only, it says, and also at that time, they will come against the land of unwalled villages that is sitting at peace, and then they'll do this thing. So it's a multi-front war, and we are about the only nation on the face of the earth that has no borders whatsoever. You think there's no border fence down there, ladies? And it's a form of a larceny and money laundering. Any little fences that are down there, it's for it's part of the military industrial complex and funneling money and the back funneling of political campaigns and stuff like that. We are the land of unwalled villages that lives in such hubristic arrogance that we think nothing will ever come against us. Revelation 18 says very plainly that it will be business as usual. Everything will be totally normal, just like it was in Israel 72 hours ago. And in a single day and a single hour, smoke is seen rising from all of her cities. Here's another interesting word that God, type of shadow that God speaks about judgment on nations and even judgment on Israel. He says, in that day, the battle cry will go out, but nobody will come out to battle. He says, in that day, all your fighting men will be like women. United States military, right? He says, in that day, the men will not leave their barracks because they're so scared about what's going on. I mean, it is so detailed. Biblical language, biblical prophecy, and the way that God deals with reprobate wicked nations, including his own nation, Israel, is so definitive that when you see these things happening, it is a verbatim 100% fulfillment of what God said he was going to do. And so I fully anticipate that this Nitro Zeus, along with Headless, along with, you know, Operation Headless, if that is a true thing, right? Can't corroborate that yet. And all these other different aspects of the impending kinetic invasion with Russia and China, I believe it's all true. And notice this. I'm thinking of this right now, Doug, as we're talking. Notice how somehow everything that's going on in the world, China has never committed one troop to anything, anywhere, anytime. Don't you think that's interesting? Maybe because the entire Chinese military industrial complex is being reserved for the singularity of the kinetic invasion of the U.S. While we're distracted on all these multiple front wars over here and over here and over and over here, and we're depleting our oil reserves and we're depleting our strategic munitions and we're sending everything, and all the Chinese ships and all the Chinese craft and all the armor brigades in Vancouver Island and all the Chinese staged in Mexico and in other Central and South American countries, they haven't committed a single troop anywhere else. Don't you think that's interesting? Maybe. This is mental gymnastics right here live with Doug, right? Maybe it's because they are committed for that zero hour in the U.S. while all this other stuff is going on over here. And it's going to leave Israel completely exposed to this alliance of Arab nations that are with Iran and Russia at the helm coming against them as China is mopping up the United States over here in CONUS.
Well,
Maybe.
China would have to commit everything to do anything to us. But you cannot do anything to the United States while our power is on.
Yeah.
You can toss a billion men here and the Bubbas of America with their hunting rifles and their Tannerite and their ingenuity and the good old spirit of American rebellion will chew them up and spit them out. And they know it. They know it. The average Chinese fighter is not even as skilled as the average American hunter. And they know that. Getting back to Jerusalem, don't forget Ezekiel 33, verse 29, go a little bit down. It says, I am the Lord when I have made the land of desolation and a waste, made the land a desolation and a waste because of all their abominations they have committed. Talking about Jerusalem, I don't think we're going to be there. I have listened to some of these false prophet pastors with these mega million churches and their mega million bank accounts. And they say, you know, we are there to back up Israel for anything. I don't know where this illusion comes from. All you got to do is cut the power. We're done. We're done. AFRICOM is coming over here. EUCOM, European Central Command, that's out of Italy. They better move Ricky Tick back to over here. You don't have to invade us with a standing army when over the last 10 years you've pushed 40 million men into America. Just have them start committing crime. Just crime. Yes. We can't handle crime now. Imagine 100,000 men in every city committing crime. Every city. We would have to have martial law. We would have to have the military because we have to regain some semblance of control. So Israel will be on its own besides what we can spare. We can spare you enough men and bombers for enough time because we see a fleet is coming. And we don't have the ability to prepare for that fleet, China. We can spare you a few bombers. Some of our Rangers, some of our SF and Delta Cats, maybe some MARSOC and some TAC-P guys and some parajumpers, maybe a few SEALs. After that, it's on you, Israel. We're not going to be there. That is realistic. That is,
yeah.
Throw everything for prophecy out. That is absolutely realistic. Because if we were going to be invaded by a billion-man force, no, by the way, we know China and Russia are going to team up. We're going to be hit by cyber warfare. That's going to happen. They're going to have intelligence agents that are here in America. They're going to start to sabotage everything with telecommunications. They're going to start to turn on anything and everything where they can get guns. You don't have to break into a military base to get guns. Go to the gun store. Go to your local gun store. My Lord, the arsenals we have. They're beautiful. I love my guns. However, so do they. And it's not hard to break glass and to cut chains. We are so ignorant, haughty, arrogant in our own peace and safety that we forged, America forged it. We were the hammer of the world. Not that that's a point of pride, but we were that. We are not that anymore. And I think our adulterous country, the whore of Babylon that we are, we have polluted the world with our unworldliness.
Yeah, it says we've literally made the whole world drunk on our immorality, with it. And, you know, and it says that the arrogancy of America says, I'll never be a widow, I'll never see harm. That's exactly what Mystery Babylon is saying. And God says, so because of your arrogancy, when you look at Jeremiah 50 and 51 about Mystery Babylon, obviously Revelation 17 and Revelation 18 about Mystery Babylon, other attributes of it, the singularity of the spirit of Mystery Babylon is arrogancy. That's what God's constantly speaking to, the hubristic nature, you know, and so I really do think it's a single day, in a single hour, smoke is arising from all of our cities. And that even gets into, I think, the wild card, Doug, or like what the chaos factor is how much of our government and our corporate reality has already, past tense, been infiltrated by Chinese and these other actors, the pay to play and the pedophilia and all the other things that compromise all elite. I mean, we're hearing rumors of all the way down to county road commissioners and local councilmen. Like, what's a city councilman has no power or authority anymore whatsoever. It's a joke, right? It's just that's just a networking tool within a community. But they're saying even at that level, they're bought and paid for. Chiefs of police, his sheriff's deputies, stateies, and state patrol heads of National Guard, you know, different regional National Guard units, congressmen, senators, tech companies, people within academia, the comptrollers at the nuclear power plants and other power generating stations. There has been people, highly astute, you know, investigative journalists that have tracked money from the CCP military organization to every single detail level of the American hierarchy. So I think that there's a human chaos factor due to infiltration and subterfuge that we won't even understand till it happens. And it is going to be shock and awe on a level that'll make, all the paltry language of the Iraq invasion look like a joke compared to what they're going to be doing in the continental United States. I mean, can you imagine, Doug, if only 40, let's say 10% of the 40 million immigrants that have been allowed to come in here strategically, we'll say 10%. So that's 400,000 of them, 400,000 wicked, vile, bloodlusted, demonic, occult-driven guys from Hezbollah to the cartels to the Chinese to Hamas to everywhere in between, to Spetsnaz and everything is ignited in one day. 400,000 in one day. By the way, we took Iraq. I was a part of the tip of the spear taking Baghdad in 03. We took all of Iraq with 150,000 troops and a kinetic, mechanized, conventional warfare capacity. Can you imagine 400,000 insurgent guys in plain clothes activated on that a single day in America? It's, you wouldn't even have a clue how to respond to that. Neither would the American populace, neither would the patriots, neither would the patriotic National Guardsmen and the law enforcement officers. It would be chaos and bloodshed on a level that has never been seen.
Well, let me add to that. I'm flipping through Revelation as you're speaking. The great prostitute and the beast, huh? We're talking about tracking of finances. We tracked George Soros money that was going to the Democratic Party through affiliates, offshore bank accounts, shell corporations, made its way to Antifa. Antifa made its way to the cartels in the Sinaloa Mountains, where they trained them on cartel things, I guess. And then those same people then go to Syria in an active war zone to left seat, right seat, which means to operate with ISIS doing ISIS things. And then they come back here.
Yep.
And then find out that your government is in support of it and protecting them. Does it make you surprised at all to see that Antifa and Black Lives Matter are in support of this attack from Hamas?
Of course.
So take that 400,000 man, or that 10%. All right, take that 400,000.
Yeah, we're going low, right? We'll just say 10%.
But that up with the multi-million man armies that they've already produced with the Black Lives Matter riots. Oh, how many times did they bring out guns? They didn't have to bring out guns. They shut down entire cities. People don't understand. You don't have to have tanks and planes to destroy a city. Homeless people destroy cities all the time by just falling into stuff. They shut down entire. I mean, it's sad, but they shut down entire trainways, railways. They get caught up in, the electrical processing units. This can happen. These people can do this. All it needs is just one good placement of a car at every single electrical outlet station that you have, every step down station, one placement of a car if it doesn't have any barriers set up, and drive it right into those transformers and boom. Doesn't have to even destroy it. Just make it inoperable.
And you know, Doug, how easy it is to cordon cities. I know you've been in on that action. I've been in on that action a lot. You know, I share the story regularly about how our battalion, you know, which is about 1,200 Marines, right? Combat effective battalion. That's with all your H&S, all your support stuff. So about 1,200 Marines in a battalion, maybe even a little less than that. And we took the second holiest city in all of Islam, Anajaf, Iraq, which at the time was a city of roughly 2 million to 2.5 million people, second holiest city in all Iraq, and us 1,200 Marines cordoned and controlled and deposed the ruling authority of that city and had a puppet police government control security forces erected within 45 minutes, and we didn't fire a shot. Didn't fire a shot. I mean, all you have to do is park a truck sideways at a bridge or at a primary intersection or on ramp and off ramps on major highways, thoroughfares, interstates, whatever the case is. You don't have to go house to house. All you got to do is cordon and control. And it's easier than what people think. So, you know, when the listeners hear guys like Doug and I, you know, telling war stories, we only tell you to give context because of the faulty self-actualization of Americans in general, and especially of patriots, and two of your you know, your first responders, your fire, EMS, law enforcement, state, local, federal law enforcement, whatever, National Guardsmen, I consider them as a part of the first responders. Nobody is coming when this thing kicks off. And the infiltration has been so thorough. It's been so thorough and exact and complete that when they choose to do this, as we saw in Israel, and that was a microcosm of what's going to happen here, it's going to be beyond anything what our paradigms can even know and understand. Even guys like Doug and us that, by God's grace, have been allowed to be a part of these different professions, you know, that maybe have equipped us with a little bit more hypervigilance or you know, whatever the word would be, right? A skill set. I think guys like Doug and I are going to be like anybody else on our faces, crying out to the one true living God through the name of Jesus Christ for wisdom and for protection and for discernment, because all the training, all the skill set in the world is worthless in light of what's coming against the United States of America soon. It will be utterly worthless.
What are you talking about, man? I do that now already.
Exactly.
My first weapon is my prayer to the Father. That's it. All these carnal things, you know, I mean, if you were forced to run, what are you going to pick first, the child or your favorite AR-15?
Yeah.
You know, hey, and while we're talking about this, while it's fresh on my mind, don't forget that, let's hypothetically say that when America is invaded through internal conflict, and then all these other horrible things happen, invasion from China and elsewhere, Jeffrey Dahmer's right down the street. John Wayne Gacy,
yeah, no kidding.
That you never knew. Ed Gein is the guy coming over because he's scared and he's the older fella. You know, he's the nice older fella. He needs a place to stay because, you know, he's by himself. You don't know what you don't. DTA, do not trust anyone. Be very careful for all you preppers out there. And you go out and you're buying your 1,000 pounds worth of, you know, pail buckets with food in them. Every time you do that, someone's paying attention. Every time you do it, someone's paying attention to you. Every time you're going out to the gun range and you're taking your 30 different AR-15 rifles to shoot one mag out of each and just waste ammunition. I know you guys. God bless you anyways. People are paying attention. Bad guys are paying attention. Your neighbors paying attention. Hey, even your family members are paying attention. People are predatory. People are very predatory. And they will prey on the weakest link or the closest thing. And they will assume the risk that they can either through subterfuge fool you, wait till you leave, or they can actually just take you. Do not believe people will not try stuff like that. They're trying it right now. while the light's on, the police are just 2 to 3 minutes down the road, and you still have constitutional rights. All that stuff is taken away. Everything else falls down with it, Jamie. And we know that the beast system rises up right afterwards. Second Thessalonians and so on. Let's end with a discussion about the Antichrist. Let's bring this to its final conclusion. The Antichrist. The infrastructure is being set up. Things militarily are rolling out. Where's your mindset in this right now?
Well, and that is kind of the magnum opus of where this all leads to, is the terraforming, for lack of a better word, right? Sometimes it's hard to find an adjective rolling around in my head, but the terraforming, there's a terraforming operation for the arrival of the Antichrist. That's what this Psalm 83 war is about. That's what the impending World War III and limited nuclear exchange is about. That's what the consolidation of all supply and all shipping and all, you know, manufacturing is about. That's what the pivoting of manufacturing from one nation to another nation is about. Central bank digital currencies is about. That's what the transhumanism movement is all about. And the GMOing of everything and the geoengineering of the skies and everything else. It can only be known and understood through the finality of the revelation of the terraforming for the arrival of the Antichrist. And the central key to that is Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. All the world's eyes will be on the smallest sliver of a nation on the face of the earth. And yet all the eyes of the world are on it. Everything rises and falls based on what Israel is doing on the whole face of the earth. Doesn't that seem interesting to all the secular God haters out there? Like, don't you think there might be something to that? There actually might be something to the Bible, to the God of the Bible, and therefore to his son, Jesus Christ, right? When everything is so Israeli-centric and more in particular, Jerusalem-centric. So that is it, Doug. I mean, the fullness of this, like I said, the magnum opus is the setting of the stage, the terraforming for the ripeness for Jerusalem to be the place again with a temple, with a whatever, with a global governance, with a ecumenical religious thing, with the rising of a false prophet or a global religious leader, with everybody crying out for peace and security after great bloodshed, after horror upon horror, tragedy upon tragedy, economic reset, global hyperinflationary status, a third of the world's population being dead. And it's after these events. This is why all this, the U.S.'s insatiable push for nuclear war with Russia, and now with Iran, and now with China, now the they have to have it. Why? Because they know that their time is short, and all that has to occur before the citizens of the earth, their mind has been seared enough through satanic ritualistic abuse, which is what each one of these new breakings on the scene is doing, to where that their psyche is ripened to receive and actually exalt and marvel after and come underneath the man of perdition, the lawless one. So that is the singularity where all this is going. And that's why I keep saying what just happened on early Saturday morning in Israel, it changes everything. It literally changes everything. Overnight, everything from here on out is different.
Jesus said that I came and you didn't receive me, but another one come in my name and him you will receive. That's the Antichrist.
That's the Antichrist. And that's the 12th Imam. And that's Myatria. And that's what the Mormons are looking for. That's what NAR is looking for, New Apostolic Reformation. That's what the Bethel and Hillsong with all their dominion theology is looking for and all their preterism. That's what the social justice gospel warriors are looking for. For a quote unquote man, I know it'll be a demigod man, but a man that they can all put their hope in that's going to help them in their self-directed evolutionary process of the species to get them to that next level of a counterfeit millennial reign without Jesus present. That's what they all want. They want the millennial. They want a millennial, utopic, counterfeit, perverse world without Jesus. So then there's no accountability. There's no justice. There's no righteousness. There's no objective truth. They want it all without Christ Jesus. And actually, the Christians are center stage at wanting that. They don't even know it. But that's the doctrines that all these churches are teaching. And the Antichrist is getting ready to show up after this huge global collective traumatic experience, which we're on the verge of. That's economically, that's militaristically, that's war-wise, that's famine, and that's a new round of pestilence and disease. That's what the Bible says. And right after all that, and all that doesn't have to take a long time. That doesn't have to take years. All that can literally be achieved in a matter of 6 weeks to 6 months. All of that could be, you could check every one of those prophetic boxes. And then they come on the scene and the whole world gives themselves over to them because they want peace and security without the resurrection and the return of Jesus Christ.
You know, I had someone ask me the other day, why is it that Islam wants to destroy Jerusalem so bad? In all actuality, when you think about it, they're almost kind of like cousins, right? Very much so.
It's the Ishmaelites, yeah. Uh-huh.
It's the Ishmaelites. In Galatians 4, verse 21, there's an example of Hagar and Sarah. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this is my interpreted allegory. These women are two covenants. One is Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. I've looked at this before. God pointed me to this before. Like, where is this hatred coming from? Because it's a strange hatred that really there's really no reason for the pushing of beheading babies, like infants. I watched a man yesterday be beheaded by a garden hoe. I haven't seen that type of stuff over a dozen years. I don't want to see it again. I've had a lot of friends of mine, Jamie, that are civilians, and they ask, you know, how was Iraq? How are the things that we saw? Watch these videos. Watch the videos. You want to see how bloody it is? You guys who like you talk about wanting to go and take on governments and fight people and be all cool and Rambo. You have no idea what you ask for.
I have no idea. I know. The epitome of faulty self-actualization are like, yeah, I'll let the government come and take my gun. I'm like, oh my goodness. Do you know what guys like Doug and I do when you say come and take it? They're like, thank you for the invite. We'll be right there.
There's no
protection. Yeah, they don't get it.
Yeah. Pray for peace, but the man of lawlessness is coming. That's 2 Thessalonians. What is that, chapter 2? Where it talks about, where it talks about the man of lawlessness. Read your Bible. Read the entire Bible. Jews, Christians, read all of it. Pastors who refuse to read anything bad, read it all.
No kidding.
Read Lamentation. See what happens to you when you become besieged. See it. Read it. Go and historically find how many times people have been besieged and what it was like to the point of eating your children.
Read the book of Jeremiah.
70 pieces of silver.
Yep. Jeremiah is the book of siege and siege work and siege warfare. And the Lord does say, he says that they will eat their children in distress in that day. That's how bad it's going to be. He says it'll be like a man who escapes a lion only to meet a bear, who escapes a bear only to rest his hand against the wall and be bitten by a snake. It says trouble upon trouble, terror upon terror. When this thing begins, and it looks like it is, there's no going back. And that's why, again, I can't emphatically state it enough. Everything from here on out is different. Everything's different from here on out.
Everything's broken. Everything is wrong right now in this world. And that's why Christ must come back. And prophecy has to be fulfilled. Jamie, will you take us out in prayer, please?
Yeah, man, for sure. Let's pray. Lord, we do just thank you and praise you that you've even given us space for grace in this nation. And I know that that those who are created in your image, if they've regardless of if they've rejected you or not, God, they would give anything for one more day of grace. I know that the families in Gaza would give anything for one more day of grace, and the Israelis, Jew, Gentile, whatever, it doesn't matter, would give anything for one more day of grace. And the Ukrainian families, they're being notified of another 5,000 of their sons slaughtered because of the U.S. and NATO, and Ukraine would want one more day of grace. And the Russian mothers receiving news about their sons dying on the front lines in the war to nowhere would give anything for one more day of grace. And we just thank you, God. You're gracious to give us time. Time to repent, time to seek your face while it may be found, time to call on your name with a pure and sincere heart, time to hunger and thirst and be satisfied by your spirit, time to eat of your word, God, as our portion daily, because you've told us that a new time is coming, a time when there'll be a famine in the land, and it won't be a famine of food or a drink, but it'll be a famine of hearing of the word of the Lord, and that men will stagger like drunkards all across the earth searching for your word, and they won't find it. I thank you, God, that we even have your word right now, and we have your spirit. We have your sufficiency. I thank you, God, that you've given us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You've given us fair warning that those with ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Repent, brace for impact, hide in the shelter of the Most High of Jesus Christ. God, you've said that you've a wise man foresees danger coming and plans accordingly, but a fool goes on and suffers for it. Lord, I thank you for giving us your word that we might not be caught up among the five foolish virgins who are caught unaware by all the dissipations of this life as we wait for our true and better bridegroom to return and to take us to the place he's prepared for us. Help us to be wise, God, to trim our lamps, to burn brightly in this dark, dark generation, in this crooked and perverse generation, that we would shine so brightly that the powers of darkness would gnash their teeth and shriek in the presence of your true warrior redeemed in Jesus Christ, God. And I do pray for Jerusalem. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because I know, Jesus, that you are going to have a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. And it's going to descend, God, adorned like a bride on its wedding day. And it's in that place that you are going to rule and reign. And it's in that place that all the peoples of the earth are going to come regularly to just worship you and honor you and glorify you. So I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But more importantly, God, I pray for the eternal souls of men, Jews, Muslims, reprobates, God haters, homos, and everything in between, God, that you would crush them and crush the hell out of them, literally beat the hell out of them, that they might look on the face of the one who is willing to trade his life for theirs while they were his enemy, Jesus Christ, and they would cry out for the forgiveness of their sins. Because I know in the instant that they do, it's done. Done deal. They are forgiven. Though their sins were as crimson, there you make them white as snow. I don't care what their history is. I don't care what their religious orientation is. I don't care what part of horrific, demonically inspired things that they committed, God. I know the sufficiency of the blood of your son to heal us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, God. And so I pray for the souls of men. I pray for the souls of the Jews that have rejected your son. And to this day, they curse him and they mock him and they scoff him and they spit in his face. But one day they're going to look on him and they're going to weep and wail and just rejoice that he actually is the Messiah that he told him he was all along. So we look forward to that day, God. And I just pray for the people in the United States of America and anybody who would listen to this, God, that you would do a new thing in their hearts and in their minds right now, not a different thing. A completely new thing. You're in the business of doing a new thing, and that you would set them on fire for eternity and for your kingdom, that they would so know the sufficiency of your son, that they would be mighty in battle, God, to the tearing down of every stronghold and false pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of you, and that they would make war within against their own flesh and war without against the powers of darkness. And that they would grow in a knowing of you, because you have proclaimed that those who know you, God, will be strong and they will go forth in the darkest of the night and perform daring feats of valor to your glory. We need that, God. We want that. We long for it. We ask for more of your spirit. And we just pray all these things in the powerful, precious, life-giving name of Jesus Christ, the soon coming conquering King. Amen.
Amen. Repent. 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 The day of the Lord is coming. Stay frosty. The enemy is out there seeking whom he may devour. Jamie, thanks for being on with us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next time. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.